So today, yeah, I was telling the group I'm going to be talking about delighting in God. So it's going to be more of a topical message. We do have one scripture that we're kind of just going to all read together, but I'll be jumping around kind of quite a bit, but it's not like, I don't know, not too crazy, but you won't have to follow me in every single scripture I go to. But what I did in preparing for this was just looked up a concordance. It's in the back of most Bibles, you know, just tells you like where certain words are in the Bible. So I looked up the word delight or delights, and it was kind of funny, actually, now I think about it. It's delight is right before Delilah, and everybody knows about Delilah because of Samson, but most people don't think about the word delight when they think of the Bible. But there's only one reference to Delilah, and there's like 20 for delight. And so it's cool. It's cool for me because I never understood or even like thought of like the Bible and the relationship with God as being something to delight in until probably this past year or so, maybe a year and a half. So it was exciting. It was cool to just like go through the word and get like firmly established in that. So that's my goal today, is to kind of expose you guys to just that foundation of like, what does it look like to delight in God? And we'll go from there. But yeah, let's pray and we'll dive in. Lord, thank you for your word, and thank you that you are pleasurable and that you made us to delight in you. Just help us to just pursue joy this morning, to want more abundant joy, something that's pleasurable to us as we listen to your scripture. And God, just bless this time as I just share things you've shown me, God. And I know that not everything I say this morning will be pure truth. So I hope that you would just be glorified despite my weakness. Just help us, God. Meet us where we're at. And we know that you love us well, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. So, if you guys want to open up to Romans 7, verse 22. That's kind of the cornerstone verse of this morning. That just kind of summarizes what we're looking at. And then, like I said, I'll kind of be jumping around. But before I read that verse, basically what I'm going to start with is looking at what desires we have. We're going to be talking about desire first off. We'll go to the garden, look at Eve, which I'm not going to go too in depth with that because Peter's obviously been talking about that a lot lately. But just that, you know, that's where it started, is how we learn about our desires. So we'll look at the two desires we have. And then after that, we'll move into delight and what scriptures I found when I was doing that search. And then I'll just finish it by sharing with you guys like what that's looked like in my life, just kind of to bear a testimony of what delighting in God has been for me, even though it's been brief, you know, very brief part of my Christian walk. You know, I've been saved since I was 18 and turning 25 at the end of this month, so that's almost 7 years now. And for only like a year have I been like learning to delight in God, you know, so it's like 6 years of just other growth without understanding joy in God. So but let's jump into to Romans 7:22. Okay, just a little bit of context. He's talking about the kind of the battle that we all have between the flesh and the spirit. But verse 22, it says, "For I delight in the law of God in my inner being." Okay, and then he continues, says, "But I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members." So it's nuts when I read this, what actually first comes to my mind is like, if we don't have the Holy Spirit in us, there is no war. And if there is a war, it's really just flesh against flesh. I think about my non-believer friends. The only reasons that even myself as a non-believer, any of my non-believer friends, the only reason they have like difficulty with like deciding what to do is just which one is going to serve them better. You know, like our flesh doesn't wage war against God if God isn't living in us. And so there's the difference between godly sorrow and worldly sorrow. But when we're just looking at desires, we start with that. You know, there's desires that are going to clash against each other that are both sinful. And so when I read this, it's cool because it clarifies like, okay, what is it? What's the battle I want to be fighting? Do I want to be fighting the battle between my flesh and itself of like, oh, should I do this sin or this sin? Because both are just gross and jack, not glorifying God, but it's just which one do I want or like better? Or do I want to be fighting the battle of, okay, my flesh wants this? And when I say flesh, let me just clear that up real quick. Flesh is not specifically just your, like, your body, just the material itself. It's really referring to your nature as just a sinful human being. That's what I have in me. I'm a sinful human being, and that's my old self, right? Now I'm saved. But for somebody who's not saved, that's just their self. That's who they are, right? So do I want to be fighting that flesh, or do I want to be fighting flesh glorifying self and spirit glorifying God, or what he calls in Romans 7 my inner being, right? So he classifies his flesh as just like his outer being, or his old nature, or the spirit, this new creation that God has made in him. We got to make sure that we're fighting the right battle and not just, you know, toiling over, do I want to be selfish in this way or this way? And which one is going to be more pleasurable just in the matters of flesh? My biggest, biggest thing I want to, like, get across to you guys this morning is just that the reason that I'm so excited about this topic of delighting in God is because it has led to better and better and better pleasure. And it's not, and I know Peter obviously talks about this a lot, so this isn't, like, new, but I just want to, again, be another testimony to that and another witness to how this looks. And if there's anything I encourage you guys to, is to not, you know, as somebody who spent, you know, 6 years out of his 7 years as a Christian, not enjoying God, like, intentionally. You know, God blessed me, obviously, and he's gracious and he's good, and I'm still enjoying him in ways. But spending 6 years of my Christian walk not pursuing that joy, you know, I look back, and it's not like I'm, like, I look back and I'm like, oh, it was all a waste. It's like God was working, but, you know, if I understood, oh, man, God wants me to delight in him when I first got saved and pursued that, man, it's just like I just missed out. Like, that's all, you know. But I trust God with that. I trust that he'll redeem that time, you know, and nothing was in vain when it's with God, and that's what's cool. He's not somebody who wastes time. First, sorry, I guess, is Genesis 3. You guys don't have to flip there. I'll just read it to you. It's just a verse. It's when Adam and Eve fall. I'm going to jump there real quick. It's Genesis 3:6. It says, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. So what did she see, right? She saw that it was good for food, right? Obviously, it's fruit. So she, like, okay, this will fill me up in my belly. But also, it was a delight to the eyes. So that gives us insight. And the tree was to be desired, right? So she saw that it had delight, and it was to be desired. So that tells us something about how we're made. It's not something that we developed, you know, like 2,000 years of, you know, just like evolving and changing as human beings. It's like from the beginning, we were made to delight in something and to desire something. And Eve, in sinning, the primary thing that she did, and Adam, of course, because he did the same thing, the primary thing they did is they just delighted in something that wasn't Christ, God, right, at the time, just like God in the garden, and desired something that wasn't God. And we'll talk about the two, what I'm convinced is like the two, that, again, everything I'm sharing, it's not just like ultimate, this is all there is to it, but it's just one aspect of it, okay? And so the two desires we have, right? One is a desire out of being filled. So Eve, she saw it as something to be desired and something to delight in. And so, like, she hasn't been alive for, you know, thousands of years to, like, be changed or developed. She's the first, like, woman that God made, and she's already wired, hardwired to delight in something and to desire something, right? And so if we just accept that first off, which many, I guess, non-believers and even ourselves, we struggle with this, but many non-believers will just ignore that because they're like, I don't have to delight in something. I don't have to desire something. You know, and that's why they'll deny the fact that they're worshiping an idol. You know, if we tell somebody like, oh, you know, you might not worship God, but you're worshiping this, that, and the other, whatever that might be in their life, you know, they would deny it, but they're just blind to it, right? Like, it's like they are delighting in something. It's just not God, and it's not going to satisfy them ultimately. And so when I see this, it encourages me because it tells me that it's not wrong to want pleasure and to want to delight in something and want to enjoy it. And delight, really, I just looked it up in our dictionary because that's just, I was like, you know, why did they choose the word delight as far as the best translation? And it's just to take a high amount of pleasure, like a very, very high, like pretty much the highest, right? Like I'm delighting in something. You don't just say that, like, oh, I'm delighting in this pizza. You know, like you could if it was really, really good. But I've never heard somebody say that. And it's because we don't use delight loosely, and I'm glad we don't, because it doesn't take away from the word. But it's a really high amount of pleasure. And so just as I continue to go through these things, just think through your mind. You know, I hope that God will just bring things to your mind, like, God, what do I delight in? You know, what do I delight in? And more so, that's the first step, is just what do I delight in? But going a step deeper, like, why do I delight in it? And why do I desire it? And that's what I want to jump into when we're talking about these two desires. You know, non-believers don't have those two desires. There's one desire, which is our old self, which is delighting or desiring. We're seeking that out of a need. Like, we have to, because we're empty. And we're wired to do that, so we, like, have to be filled by something. And so that's one part of desire. The other part of desire is out of a satisfaction, out of a being filled, right? Like, the example that comes to my mind is, like, food is just the first one that popped in my mind, because my mom brought home, like, some donuts, one donut and a half or something like that 2 nights ago. And I was like, okay, donuts, like, definitely relate to this subject, because I'll just use myself as an example. If I go and I'm looking at the donut, I'm like, oh my gosh, dude, I'm starving. Like, like, just woof that puppy down, like, no thought. Yum, done. And so if I eat it with that type of attitude, like, what is my heart going to be towards that thing? Like, if my mom was like, oh, can I have that donut? You know, am I going to be willing to be like, no, like, okay, yeah, you have it. No, I'm going to want the donut for myself. And also, like, just moderation. Like, you know, am I only going to eat half if I'm really hungry, if I'm starving? And so you have that side of it where it's like you're not being filled, right? You're a hungry, hungry, hungry person, and there's just a donut or a cake or something. And donut's like not the perfect example, because, like, it's small, and even if you eat one, it's not going to kill you. But if we had, like, a cake or just, like, a huge pie or something like that, and you're starving, or actually the best example, which reminds me, I didn't take it home last night. I was at Beyond Bread yesterday, and there's, like, this cheesecake that they just gave me, like a leftover cheesecake. And again, I was hungry. I hadn't gone on break yet. And so there was a lot in me that just wanted to just devour that puppy and be like, dude, blueberry cheesecake, like, let's get it on. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's do this. Yeah. And so I was really wanting to just scarf away at that. And I was like, oh, like, you know, I could just make my sandwich and then take it home and have it for lunch, like, another day, and I could just eat this cheesecake, you know? And so that's, like, that's the unhealthy, right? Like, that's lusting is what that is, right? It's using it for selfish need. And not loving, and not pure. That's not a pure motive. And so you take that, and we'll apply this to, like, not food in a second, but you take that versus being satisfied. And let's think of Jesus as, you guys have probably seen, like, plenty of those, like, shakes that come out, like nutritional meal replacement shakes. And I've heard of, like, you know, probably two or three, that I've tried, but, like, I don't really do those anymore, but I have tried them. And there's always, like, a fault with one of them, you know, like, they're always, I don't know, there's no perfect, like, meal replacement shake. But if there was one, that's what Christ would be for us. It's something that's just, every time we eat of it, it always satisfies perfectly, and it always is enough. So think of having that. If you drink of that shake or that meal, whatever that would look like, and now you look at the cheesecake or you look at the donut, you have freedom, and you have purity, and you have satisfaction. So you're not going to be, okay, I need to devour this donut, I need to eat this cheesecake, you know, because I'm so starving or whatever. And so if we apply that to, and food is, like, a real life application of that, so don't get me wrong, like, food is legit, you know, that's why, like, fasting is important and things like that. There's joy in that, because I need to realize that Christ is enough for me, and I don't need things or anything besides him to be satisfied. So food does have an application, but let's just take that to things in our life, just relationships, whatever it may be. And again, I'm praying that you guys, God would be bringing these things to your mind as far as what you are delighting in and what your motives are behind it. But the one that kind of I go through, I don't know, like, how often it happens, but I just know it, like, comes up every now and again is, you know, I'll meet a girl who I'm attracted to, and again, not just like physically lusting after her immediately or anything like that, but just we have like a cool friendship, like just kind of right off the bat, right? If I'm not filled, then I'm not going to be loving towards her. And the signs of that is I'm not going to be wanting to like prefer her or others, right? In that scenario. And so it's kind of like if I'm hungry, I'm just going to want the cheesecake for myself and just eat it all, right? And so if somebody else wants it, I'm not going to like share it. You know, if somebody's like, yo, could I have like a piece of that cheesecake? I'm not going to be like, oh, yes, please, brother, I prefer you. But if I have Christ and like, and it's not that this is black and white cookie cutter, all, you know, either you're always satisfied or you're never satisfied. It's a battle. But this is just to get the idea down of like, okay, which desire is driving me, you know? And that will help us just in our walk with God and loving others is to, it's helped me just like know, okay, if I'm not willing to prefer this person, if I'm not willing to share them, or I'm feeling very like, yeah, like lustful. And again, coveting is really kind of hand in hand, just like wanting them for myself. You know, that I'm not filled. I'm not really looking to God. I'm not drinking of him first. I'm trying to drink of this other thing first, whether it's a person or food or entertainment or drugs or alcohol, any of those things, you know, any substance or any ideology, perhaps. Sometimes we just have a philosophy that we feed first before God. But that reminds me of Jeremiah 2:13, which I just love that verse now because I didn't even know it existed before coming to Calvary, but it's one of my favorites. And it's really just like, it's like the definition of evil, I think, is what it does. It tells us, like, what is sin? What is evil? And you guys have heard it several times, but it says, for my people have committed two evils, for they have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hewed for themselves broken cisterns that can hold no water. And when we start treating those broken cisterns in our lives as fountains that are going to satisfy us, obviously they won't satisfy us. And this all logically makes sense, but when it comes down to like the battle, you know, like the actual in the moment, like, okay, I know this won't satisfy, but I want it anyway. The only thing that's going to keep you from lusting after it or continuing in that path is to enjoy more of God and going to him. It's not, this doesn't say like, I mean, like it's a simple metaphor. It doesn't say like, oh, just don't drink from the cistern. It says drink of the fountain of living water. You know, it doesn't say just, oh, don't do that. It's like the only way you're not going to be able to drink from the broken cistern is if you're drinking of the fountain. They're hand in hand. And if you think that you cannot drink from a broken cistern without drinking from the living water, you're really just drinking from another broken cistern. And I don't want to get too like up here and just like, what does that even mean, practical? But I have a friend who, she's not saved, but she, you know, she's convinced that she repented of sin, but she didn't turn to Christ. And so it's like, those don't, like, that can't happen. That's not the same thing, you know? Because Christ defines sin. And sin is not just bad things, it's not drinking from him. So if she repented from one sin, she thinks she's really just turning to something else. And that's where those desires come in, is we're made to desire something to fill us and made to delight in it. Excuse me. And whatever we delight in, like, that's what we'll serve. So if we delight in something, even if it gives us just a temporary pleasure, even if it's not forever, that is what we are slaves to. And the question that you ultimately have to ask is, like, do I want to be a slave to God or a slave to nothing, like just anything that's not God? Because everything else is just not worth it. And it's hard to believe that until you go through it. So those are the two desires. Again, one from need, one from being filled. And what's driving them is this one is seeking joy, right? Seeking delight, while the other one is seeking more joy out of being filled already. And so to go back to the example I was using, if I want, you know, some food and I'm not hungry because I'm filled and I already had a good meal, if somebody else wants that, you know, I can just give it all to them. I could give it freely. I can give it freely. If I didn't eat, I do not have the choice. Like, there's nothing in me that's going to be able to give it freely. I'm a slave to that hunger. And so when we think about freedom and our desires, most people think they're free. because they get to do whatever they feel like. They get to do what they want. Freedom isn't doing what you want. Freedom is being able to do what you don't feel like doing or what you don't want to do. That's freedom. And it's not a matter of willpower. It really comes down to, if I'm just in sin and I don't have Christ, I'm only going to be subject to that flesh and its desires, and there's nothing that's going to set me free. And Paul even says that in the verse that follows the first one we just read. He just says, who will deliver me, right, from this bondage and from this body of flesh? So we're enslaved to that flesh. And so I hope, like Tim Keller was teaching on that, and that's really helped me a lot, just in understanding, okay, freedom isn't just doing whatever I feel like when I want and delighting only when my emotions line up with it. Freedom is doing something and enjoying God regardless of my emotions, regardless of the motivation inside me, because we're broken, we're jacked. We don't have perfect emotions. We don't have perfect motivations all the time. And so let's move on to delight, though. So that's desire. Real quick, are there any questions about desire? Hope has a question, according to Aaron. All right. Jump into delight. So the foundation I want to lay first, I'm not going to go through the scriptures for this because, there is a lot of them, but I just wanted to focus more on kind of our response, okay? But the foundation is God delights in us, okay? And I will go into one passage, which is in Isaiah 42. If you want to flip there with me, you can, but I'm just going to summarize a little bit of what's going on here, because the first verse of the Isaiah 42 says, behold, my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. He's talking about Christ in this. That's pretty. I'm pretty convinced he's talking about Jesus, because he's just talking about the servant that's mentioned throughout Isaiah. And then I put my spirit on him. He will bring forth justice. So he's describing Christ, but just that first verse, he says, in whom my soul delights. He delights in Christ, and we, as Christ's bride, have been made one with him, right? And God obviously shows that he delights in us, not just by, like, saying it, but he showed it, right? And ultimately, you know, he showed us on the cross. You know, like, if you don't, like, God is not going to just lay down his life for somebody he doesn't delight very highly in and take great pleasure in. He's not just throwing his son around as a gift to just, like, anything or anybody. And marriage is a symbol of that, right? Like, you don't just put a wedding ring on everybody's finger, like, oh, like, I'm married to everybody, because it's all just the same. You know, he's only married to his bride, and that's who he gave his son for. And, you know, he takes great delight just in his bride, right? And it's not to say that, like, other people can't be or whatever, but it's like, that's who he delights in, right? But later on, in verse 10 of Isaiah 42, it says, sing to the Lord a new song, his praise from the end of the earth, right? So the praise, the response, like, followed God delighting in us. So God delights in us, and then as a result, we delight in him. Because we're just needy, man. We're unable. But that's how we're wired. That's how he made us. And it's good to be dependent upon him in that way. He made us to know that he delights in us, and the more that we experience that and let him serve us and delight in us and enjoy us, the more we will delight in him. And so don't think of this process as something of like, oh man, I need to pursue delight in God. I need to desire God. I need to do this. Like, it's on my shoulders. It's not yourself that's going to change you in this way. It's God delighting in you. As the more you enjoy that and experience that, that's what leads to the change. So, God delights in us, but he came so that we might delight in him. And that was the purpose of the cross. That was the purpose of creation, I'm convinced, is that we enjoy God. And that obviously glorifies him, because it shows just how beautiful and worthy he is. And it shows how great of a treasure he is. But John 10:10, it's that passage where Jesus says, I've come that they might have life and have it abundantly. Right? Have abundant life. And so that gives us like an idea of Christ's heart. You know, like, what's his motivation for loving us and serving us so well? It's that we might enjoy him. And that is what abundant life is defined as. That's how he defines it, you know. And so apart from that, we're missing out. And so the thought isn't to say that when you delight in things that aren't God, there's no pleasure there. It's not true. But there's just more, and like not just more, like a little bit more, but there's so much more and such a greater pleasure and something that surpasses all of those things. You could spend a life, you could spend several hundreds of lifetimes, infinite amount of lifetimes enjoying not God, and it will not even come close to the shortest lifetime enjoying God. And that's just so beautiful to know that we have a God who did that and has that heart for us. And it's something of pleasure. The Psalms have a lot of verses about delight. I'm going to jump to a couple of them right now. The first one is Psalm 16, verse 11, which reads, "You make known to me the path of life," right, that abundant life. "In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." All right, and you guys have heard this over and over, but man, just think about pleasures forevermore. That is what you're made for. And that is what you can have. And it's not bad to want pleasure. It's just where and who are you getting the pleasure from? Right? Are you getting it from not God, or are you getting it from the one who has fullness of joy? Anytime I sin, I'm always like hit with the thought of like, man, I missed out on greater joy. Like I missed out, and I intentionally settled for something that wasn't fullness or better or the best. Or it was a less pleasure, right? It was a limited temporary pleasure that's just fleeting and just gonna go away. And that's not all I think. It's not like, oh, I did nothing wrong, I just missed out. You know, it's like I did something wrong, obviously. But what's gonna motivate us and drive us is pleasure, joy, and enjoying God and seeing him for as he is. It's just so beautiful. Not just like, I don't want to do wrong things or I don't want to be evil. It's like, man, the evil that God says, evil isn't just doing certain things, it's not enjoying me. That's the evil you're committing. Psalm 36:8 is the other one. So I'll jump there real quick. I missed one earlier when we were talking about desire. So I'll hit that right after this. This one's just beautiful. Verse 7 before it says, "How precious is your steadfast love, O God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings." And then verse 8, "They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights." Right? Like, I didn't even know verses like that existed in the Bible. And so when I was doing the study, I was like, this is just so beautiful that we can feast. Like, think of feast. It's like you go to a buffet. It's all laid out. Not even a buffet. Just think of like a feast at a house. Because buffet, you have to like wait in line sometimes. You have to go over. A feast is like it's all laid out on the table, you know. And yeah, you just, it's like, yo, pass that or just get out the way. Like, right, just go and grab it off the table. Man, it's a feast. It's laid out. And that's what God, that's the word he's using. I'm like, man, he could use a lot of words, but God is very specific with the words he chooses. Feast on the abundance of your house. And give them drink from the river, a river of delights. It's like you could just sit there all day drinking. It's just going to keep flowing and keep coming and keep coming. With our sin, we think it's a feast and we think it's a river. But then once we start feasting and drinking, we notice like, oh man, this wasn't enough. I need to go back. I need to keep going back. I'm going to be a slave to this thing over and over and over again. Whether it's the attention of a certain person, or food, or an emotional state, you know, a mental state, any of those things, we're going to have to continue to serve it over and over and over again, and it's not going to be enough. And that's just sad. That's all hell is, man. That's all hell is. It's just going back to the same thing over and over, and it not being enough. And that for eternity, it's like, man, that's what I'm choosing if I'm choosing not Christ. Because he just made it simple. He's like, if you want to be satisfied, it's me. But if you want to pursue things that aren't going to satisfy you, you're going to have that. You can choose one or the other. I'll last forever, or that'll last forever. You know, and that seems very extreme, but you know, it's simple and it's awesome because it's like, man, like why would I choose the other? You know, why would I choose to delight in those things? And if I do, it's like a clear message to him. You know, if I choose to delight in those things, it's like, yeah, God, I don't want to delight in you. You know, you've made it simple. But the verse I skipped over earlier, again, I didn't really, I wasn't going to be surprised by the verse. You guys have probably heard every single verse that I've said so far. But it's just, it's awesome. Just seeing how this is like a bouquet of flowers, right? Like, it's just like we're picking flowers from the Bible that all about, talk about delight, and just together it's just this beautiful bouquet of scripture that supports this. But Psalm 73:25, whom have I in heaven but you, and there is nothing on earth I desire besides you. Right? My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And so that just shows the insight into the desire that he puts in us. Right? So David had that desire, not by his own will, but because God put it in him. And I'm just so thankful that we don't have to rely on ourselves to muster up that desire. You know, we're made that way. And our flesh is jacked, but then he literally creates a new person, a new creature inside of you that desires him. And that's awesome. But, so with that being said, we laid this foundation. He delights in us, but he also has that fullness of pleasure. He has the abundance, the feast, the river to drink from, right? He has all of this, but So with that, it gives him great authority to command it, right? Like now when he's commanding for us to delight in him, it's not weird. It's not selfish. It's not, it's not unloving. You know, it's the most loving thing that God could command us to do. And I didn't know commands like these existed either, but verses like Psalm 100, first verse says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Like, that's a command. He's telling us to make a joyful noise. And it's like, how do you make a joyful noise without the joy? You know, and the second part is serve the Lord with gladness, come into his presence with singing. So much of my life with God has been just like doing things and just doing them. You know, like sometimes I felt like it and I enjoyed it. Other times I didn't feel like it. And I was like, whatever, like it's, you know, I should do this. And I didn't really think about enjoying it or being glad in it. You know, and I'm sure you guys can relate to a certain extent of like doing things where it's like, oh yeah, like, I went through the motions because like, I know it was like good or the right thing to do, but there wasn't really gladness. And again, I'm not talking about emotion, right? A joyful noise isn't just emotion, right? Joyful noise can have great sorrow, you know? But joy is that state of heart, right? It's a state of your spirit, rather, or your desire. You know, are you delighting in God despite the emotion, despite maybe the anger? There's been plenty of times where I'm super angry, but I'm joyful in God. I'm grateful and I'm thankful. And that actually leads me to another thing, which is giving thanks. Yeah, giving thanks or being kind of this praise attitude that he's talking about here. I knew probably about like 2 years ago, I knew that like giving thanks was something that I wanted to do, but that's like the hardest thing to just fabricate on your own, to just like start giving thanks, to just start that habit. It's like you could do it, but man, I remember when I tried, I was like, dude, I just felt like not genuine, not authentic. All that. And the only thing that changed was whenever I stopped focusing on just giving thanks as like a practice. I stopped focusing on the practice of doing it. And I just started to enjoy God more and just like delight in him. And again, it's not perfect, right? But that's what I pursued, to just see how beautiful he was and see how sweet he was to me. And then out of that came the thanks, right? And so there's kind of a second tier thing of like most important thing is, man, as you want to see change in your life and you read these things in the Bible, they're like, man, I want that. Know that you don't have to muster it up yourself, and that's what I'm testifying to, is that I didn't just sit down and read these. I was like, oh, cool, like, I'll do that. And then I made a little schedule. I was like, okay, give thanks, you know, be joyful. Like, it's not like I made myself change, but I just enjoyed God. And I was like, how do you enjoy God? And we'll get to that here in these next verses. But this command was just mind-blowing. It's like, man, God says that we should serve him with gladness. And if I'm not going to serve him with gladness, you know, should I do it? that was the question I'd ask myself, is like, if I don't want to do this, should I do it? And there's a difference between feeling like doing it and wanting to do it, right? Because there's that battle, right? There's that flesh battle going on with the spirit. So it's like the desire is there, even if I don't feel it. But I had to really come to terms with, like, okay, man, if I'm not, like, happy in doing this and I don't understand the joy in it, I probably should not do it, because otherwise it's just going to be in vain. That's one side, right? The other side is like, no, I should still do it, and I should just pray and ask for the joy. But I didn't know to do that. I didn't think about that. I just thought, like, oh, if I'm not, like, joyful in doing this, like, I should just stop doing it. Because if it's not joyful, then, like, that's not even, God doesn't enjoy that. He doesn't enjoy me just, like, following orders. Or, you know, like, oh, I don't feel like reading my Bible. It's kind of lame this morning. You know, like, I'm just not feeling it. You know, is it better for me to do it and then puff myself up thinking, like, you know what, I did it, even though I didn't feel like it? Oh, you know, like, that just puffs up. That makes you feel like, oh, I gave up, I sacrificed. But that does no... That's not good for our flesh at all. It's not good for ourselves and our minds. But there was this insightful, yeah, it was just like this word of encouragement to me that I heard when I was getting counsel about this. It was like, man, when you don't want to do something or you don't feel like wanting to do it, ask God for that desire, because He's the one that's going to give it to you. And you might not feel it, but at least praying it is like, okay, no, I do want this. I just don't feel it. And then do it out of that heart. When you're fighting in that way. The other command, I guess there's three here. So the first one was Psalm 100. I'll just read the last two briefly. They're in Isaiah 55. So I'll read that real quick. This says, "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat." Isn't that weird? Come, like, everybody who has no money, come buy. It's like, how do you purchase if you don't have money? "Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Right? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food." Right? So when we're thinking about, okay, how do I delight in God? Like, I have to muster this up. It's like, man, I don't have any money. I'm broke. I'm poor in spirit. I can't do this, but He says, come anyway. You're broke, but, like, come buy it, and I'll give it to you, even though you don't have any money. It's like, that doesn't make sense, God. It's like, that's grace. That's grace. It's like if my mom, I was like, Mom, you know, like, if I was homeless or something, I'm like, I don't have any money. She's like, come and buy some food. It's like, okay, but I don't have any money. She's like, come buy it, and she just gives it to me. You know, all I had to do was come. I didn't have to actually get any money. Didn't actually have to labor, right? But with these other things, with things that aren't God, there is a cost, and there is labor, right? Sin takes work. You know, it's easy to fall, but, like, it still takes work, and it still costs something. You know, I'm still giving something up. And specifically, just in a general sense, I'm giving up God. I'm sacrificing that. I'm saying, you know, like, I could have this joy, but I'm really giving that up. I'm giving up this grace, and I'm partaking in something that's less. Yeah, Christ is our bread of life, right? He's going to satisfy us. And that's just so awesome to think about. And we'll connect the two there between Him and the Word in a minute. We'll see the verses in Psalms that make that connection. But the last one about commanding us to delight, which is just funny. It's just funny that, like, you know, it's like when we think of the word command, we usually think of something that's a burden. But it's like, man, God's commands in our life, we should view them as just like, if He commands me to do something, it's not because I have to, but it's because there's more pleasure and there's more joy. And that was just a totally new concept to me. I always saw it as like, oh, I do that because, like, I owe Him, you know, like, He died for me. My life is His. Like, it's my duty. I must. And there is this aspect, you know, in the Bible that talks about just like duty and like, yeah, you can see it that way in a sense, but there's got to be purity there in the sense that I want it to be my duty because I want more joy. You know, if I want the highest joy, yeah, it's my duty because that's what's going to lead to more joy. But if you're not seeing it as a pursuit of joy, if you're just seeing it as like I should or I owe it to God, then that's just going to wear you down. It wore me down, and I'm just so glad that God isn't that way, that I was wrong. I'm glad I was wrong about my view of obeying God. But Isaiah 58, verse 13, it says, if you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, which actually it's like doing your business on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways or seeking your own pleasure or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So what's he saying here? It's one simple thing. He's talking about the Sabbath. But he says, if you actually obey that, you're going to delight in me. You're going to enjoy me more. So God's structure isn't do these things because doing the other thing is bad and you shouldn't, but it's do these things because there's more joy. You know, whenever I struggle with something, like thinking about, okay, God, should I, you know, serve this person in this way or not? You know, when I'm evaluating that, or should I sacrifice this, or should I give this up? It's never, you know, he's never going to be like, man, it's a lot of loss to give this up, and there's really no reward, but it's the right thing to do. Like, that's not, and that's so common, I feel like. In my mind, it was. Like, that was the way I thought. Instead, it's like, Jerry, if you don't serve, if you don't do this, you have the freedom not to. You don't have to. But just know that you're not getting the reward that you're seeking. Your reward will be in what you did, and that's it, man. But if you do this, your reward will be better now. Your joy will be better now. You're going to take delight in me now. And it's going to be better later in heaven as well. So there's a reward that you're going to see immediately, and there's a reward you're going to see in heaven. And they're both great. And that doesn't mean that, like, I got to just, like, disclaim that, because it's like, that doesn't mean it's going to fit our vision of reward or our vision of joy, like, as far as, oh, like, it'll just be easier, or I'll get this. You know, it's like, I can't remember what I was thinking of yesterday, but something happened in my life where I was like, okay, if I serve this person or give this up in a way, then I'll get this, you know, and I kind of had my own reward in mind. But it's like God, you know, God isn't limited to my structure of reward. You know, he rewards us in ways that are just beyond what we even see and think, and ways that we can't, like, conduct in our own selves. You know, he knows our life fully, so he knows how to reward us in beautiful ways, even without things that are just right in front of us. Couple examples. We'll do examples, and then we're going to talk about what, I guess, well, first, like, the first two verses we'll go through is just, like, a couple to kind of just lay the foundation of where people get their delight, and then the second will be, like, personal examples from Job, Jeremiah, a couple others, and then after that, it'll talk about kind of practically how. Here's what I can't tell you, like, this morning. I can't tell each of you how to specifically delight in God. I can't be like, yo, you know, read this book, do this thing, whatever. Like, I can't structure that, because you guys have individual relationships with God through his word, through praise, through fellowship, through prayer. But what I can say is what scripture helped me to do, which is just see how these people delighted in God, and then just explore that on my own and just continue to pursue that on my own. And God will lead you in that, and I trust he'll do that well. Because it's not cookie cutter, and I'm glad it's not, because that would suck. That'd be really boring. But Isaiah 11:3, it reads, "And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear." Right? And so he's talking about Christ. This is kind of an example of Christ, the righteous reign of the branch. And so, What is his delight in, though? It should be in the fear of the Lord. When we think of fear of the Lord, think more of just like the awe, or like the beholding, like just the amazingness of God. And so as we just see God as he is, through his word, through creation, other means, that's going to change us big time. And 2 Corinthians 3:18 talks about that, saying, as we behold his glory, we're transformed, right? Glory to glory. And so when you think of fear, don't think of something like, oh, I need to be afraid, or like it's being afraid of God is going to, you know, make me delight. It's like, yeah, there's a fear in the sense of his power, but really what it's getting at is just seeing God as he is and for how awesome he is. And that's what changes us. And then the second one is Psalm 1:2. And these are kind of general, so we'll get specific here in a second. Just talking about the blessed man, Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Something real quick I wanted to bring up too is the law of God has been simplified for me as love. And the way that that kind of happened for me, because I would always read in the Psalms, like, the law of this, the law of that, statutes, precepts, all these things. And I'm like, dude, like, the Ten Commandments are cool, but, like, that, I don't get it. You know, it's, like, not connecting. But Jesus says, you know, the law is summed up in this: love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Right? So it's, like, the purpose of God's law, yes, it's to convict, but really it, the motive is, like, this is how you love. You know, this is how you love me, and this is how you love people. And so the love of God, obeying him in his love command, is our delight, right? We delight in that. And so just know that when God leads you to these things, or he, like, puts it on your heart to love people in certain ways, it's not because, like, you know, it's good to be religious or good to love people. It's because there's joy. There's a delight in obeying that and doing that. So a couple specific ones. Job, these are all pretty cool, because I had never read any of these verses before, but Job 22... says, if you return... Okay, well, first, sorry. His friends giving him counsel. His friends were not super swell for getting counsel, giving him counsel. But, like, you know, there's obviously still truth in here. So this is just kind of to pluck this out and give us an idea of some truth despite their faults. It says, if you return to the Almighty, you will be built up. If you remove injustice far from your tents, if you lay gold in the dust and gold of Ophir among the stones of the torrent bed. So if you just give that up, right? Give up that gold, give up those riches or whatever he, you know, they thought he was delighting in. Then the Almighty will be your gold and your precious silver. Then you will delight yourself in the Lord Almighty and lift up your face to God. Right? And so Job here is being counseled, which is good counsel, but, like, for us, you know, I hear that, I'm like, dang, dude. So God calls me to abstain from things for the sake of more delight, not to just not do it. That's a big deal, because, like, I you know, I'll read things in the Bible, or, like, earlier on, probably like 3 years ago, I read these passages where people were burning stuff, you know, in Acts. They're burning all their really expensive, like, materials that they use to do idolatry and all this sin. And I was like, all right, man, I need to do that with my video games. And it's like, well, why? You know, like, what's the motive? Like, why do you need to do that? Or, like, why do you need to give something up? If you're giving something up just because, like, you just see an example of somebody give something up in the Bible and say, like, oh, that's a good idea. Like, I just need to not enjoy this. It's like, well, what's the reason? You know, is it because it's keeping you from enjoying God? Or are you doing it just because you think you should and that's the right way to go? And so just be sure you're thinking through, like, man, if I'm abstaining from something or if I give something up, it's for the sake of more pleasure, not just because it's bad. Nothing is inherent, like, in itself, like, bad. Like, this wood isn't evil, you know? But it's the things, it's what we do, it's our hearts towards them. If I start worshiping this table, now it's become an idol, and now I'm jacked. And I should give it up because I'm missing out on joy, right? And that's a very simple, kind of silly example, because I wouldn't worship this table, especially since it falls apart all the time. It's just, I mean, it's solid now, but thanks to Jake and his paw. But yeah, the motivation for abstinence should be joy in God, not not just giving something up just because. Okay. Jeremiah is the second one that I want to share with you guys. Jeremiah 15:16. It says, your words were found and I ate them, and your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. So for Jeremiah, it was his word. And that's where the Psalms really dig into, especially in Psalm 119. It's about God's word is what he delights in. And so again, not everybody's cookie cutter. You might not be reading, you know, just loads of the Bible, but man, just get in the Bible. You know, if it's most days, I read probably less than like a paragraph of scripture, but I just soak myself in that scripture. It's just a few verses and I'm just meditating on it. Other days I'll read some more. Just kind of depends on my attention span that day, if I got enough rest or just what's going on mentally. But just get in the word and delight in God's word. That's the beautiful thing. It's like, I'm commanding that not to put a burden on you. Like, oh man, Jerry says I got to read the Bible. The Bible says to read the Bible. It's like, no. Like, there's joy. There's more joy. It's awesome. And if you don't always feel the joy, that's okay. there's most of the time I'm not feeling like this. Oh, dude. Oh! Right? Yeah, I didn't mean for that to happen. That's how joyful I am. I'm breaking chairs. Like, usually it's not like that. But there's it's not just an emotional thing. It's a deep-rooted pleasure in God. And knowing that if I did something else or tried to delight in something else, I'd be missing out and I'd be empty. 2 Chronicles 17 jumps into this as well, so I'll just make a pit stop there before we finish up these verses. It's talking about Jehoshaphat reigns in Judah. And it says his heart was courageous in the ways of the Lord, but another translation, New King James, it says his heart took delight in the ways of the Lord. And furthermore, he took his high places. So his heart took delight in the ways of the Lord. So you got the word, right? And you got abstaining from things and the ways of the Lord. So it's like these three examples just encourage me greatly, because it's like anytime God lays a path before me or asks me to walk in a certain way before him or do certain things, it's always just delight. And I need to let that just penetrate my mind. And that's the only thing that's going to help me fight, is enjoying more of God. And then we have, there's a couple of verses, I'm not going to actually flip to them now, but there's verses that also just talk about God delighting in Christ, right, in Psalm 22. It's a messianic psalm. And then also the verse we've heard several times, just Christ, it was his joy, right? He endured the cross with joy. And, you know, it wasn't a burden for Christ in the sense of like, oh, I'm giving all this up and there's no reward or there's no delight. It's like it was his delight to suffer. So when God is calling you to suffer, he's calling you to give something up, there's pleasure there. And that's what needs to be the motive. And if it's not the motive, man, like, God will give that to you when you go to him, right? You don't need to fix yourself. You don't need to labor or get some kind of, you know, spiritual money system going where, like, well, if I do these things, then, like, you know, he'll give me this gift. He just says, come, and I'll give you that. I'll let you feast on this. So just the last, I'm just going to kind of power through these are the last scriptures I want to go through, but just hear them and just listen for like the common denominator in all these. So there's delight, that's one common denominator. Listen for like the second one, and hopefully it'll just encourage you guys, and you'll hear kind of the thread, the common trend going through these. It says, I delight to do your will, oh my God, your law is within my heart. It's in Psalm 40. I'm just going to jump ahead. There's a few in Psalm 119. I delight to do your will, O God. Your law is within my heart. Next one is, I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Let your mercy come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. Let your mercy come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I like that one. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. And then the last one. It says, I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. So obviously, like, he's talking about the law of God a lot, and that's why it was hard for me. Because I was like, dude, I don't delight in the Old Testament very much, you know, especially like just the commandments, you know, like don't do this or that, do this or whatever. I was just like, I wasn't getting it. But it's the heart behind the law. You know, it's like, what is God's law? And why would I obey it? It's because there's pleasure. It's not because I have to. I don't have to earn anything, you know. It's out of a joy. So, just kind of wrap up. Real quick, I guess, before I share about myself and just kind of what that's looked like in my life, any questions on anything we've covered so far? Just delight, desire, pleasure. She pointed at you. Okay. So I'm just going to share a couple things with you guys just about me, and then we can, if anything comes to your mind, just feel free to ask me as we're closing up here. We're definitely fueled by being delighted in, right? As God delights in me, that's what fuels me. That's my driving force. Not all the time, again, but like I just know now that if God didn't delight in me, I would be just so incapable of delighting in him and having any joy at all. And so God brought some cool scriptures to my attention. It was Mark 10 and Matthew 19, where he's talking about future rewards and rewards now. And that was just a big deal for me, because I used to think, like, man, I'm giving this up, and that's all there is to it, versus I'm giving this up, and the passage in the gospel, it says you will receive 100-fold of what you give up. And so when you're thinking about, okay, like, God might be calling me to sacrifice this, don't let your motivation just simply be like, ugh, you know, I should do it because it's the right thing to do. Let your motivation be, man, I'm going to get 100-fold of this. Like, God wants to give me more. That's why he's asking me to give it up. And there's going to be suffering, and there's going to be pain, because, you know, losing something hurts, or giving it up hurts. But the reward is just going to be so much more. And the reward is namely, you know, most of all himself. But it's also me enjoying him through the things that he gives me. Right? And one of the most recent examples is actually my car, like my recent car purchase. You know, I was thinking through, and I really battled just through that whole process. So I was just like praying, just like it kept being brought back to mind, because I had this car that wasn't working out too well as far as the interior. It was just kind of like trashy and junking up on me. And so I went and just started checking out some cars, and then just like with the Mustang I have now, like that deal started to like kind of move along and work out well. And I was just praying, like, God, like, you know, I'm content with what I have. You know, if like this, I don't want to lust after this. I don't want to covet this. And in the past, my attitude would have been a lot different. You know, it would have been like, oh, dude, like, cool car. Like, this one sucks. Like, I need that one now. You know, and my mind would have been set, like, right there. But we can't do that. Like, that's just so not good for us to just have our mind set on a thing. We have to have it set on God, and then, like, let the things happen as he has them, right? Seek first the kingdom of God, and these things will be given to you. Because then whenever it happens, you can really glorify him and be like, man, God, that was a gift. You know, like, I didn't earn it. I didn't fight for it. Like, sure, I did things to, like, move, you know, just, like, stayed in the process. But I wasn't lusting after it. And at any point, you know, I held it with an open hand, just being like, God, if you want to take this back, that's cool. And I can't glorify myself when I do that. You know, it's not like, oh, man, I obeyed. It was perfect. It was like, no, God just showed me the joy of submitting in that way. And so I was just seeking that joy. And that's all. He delighted in me, and that's what enabled me to delight in him. And that's like kind of a weird, you know, most of you guys aren't like thinking about cars right now. I know Hunter is, but like that's kind of a weird one. But that was just like a real, real recent one. Happens a lot though with me with work. You know, a lot of times I'll be at work and I'll just be thinking very selfishly, like, man, what, like, if I'm not getting certain things out of my work, you know, then I just lose motivation. And so for you guys, that might be like school. You know, if school isn't going a certain way, then it just, like, you just kind of lose motivation, because it's like, oh, this isn't like what I want it to be. And that's poison to our hearts. You know, it's really, that's just not going to help us at all. And so it's only when we're joyous in God and in our school or in our work that we're able to go with an attitude of like, all right, man, I'm here to suffer. I'm here to sacrifice. And not that I have to intentionally find those ways to suffer. It's like, I know I'll suffer. Like, there will be ways, even if it's small. It's like, I'm just here to endure, but I know that I'm going to get rewarded, and I know that there's a joy in my suffering, and that it's awesome, and that it's better than if I didn't embrace that suffering and I tried to just lust after my own way, or lust after the easy way, or the lazy way, whatever it might look like for you. And so, I guess the one last one I'll touch on is just like loving and serving others. Just people, because like that's the hardest, you know. Like work, there's people involved, obviously, but just in relationships, you know, it's like, like this morning I fell even, and it was kind of like unintentional. I didn't even really think it through, and that's like where I fell, is I just wasn't even thinking about it because I'm just apathetic. But what's up, man? And so this morning, you know, my mom got sick yesterday, and this morning when I woke up, like probably like half an hour before I left, you know, I have to leave around 8 o'clock to get here for first service, around like 7:30 or so. Like, I knew that she was awake, and I was still like reading, just getting in the word and stuff, kind of like just normal stuff. But you know, it didn't even cross my mind to, like, oh, maybe, like, cut this time short and go, like, serve your mom and see if she wants, like, breakfast or, like, soup or something. And so then by the time I, like, went and saw her, it was like, okay, cool, yeah, we're almost done. It was, like, 2 minutes before I left, you know. I was like, all right, I'm heading out. And then she was like, when are you leaving? I was like, now, you know. And she's like, oh. And then it hit me. I was like, crap. Like, it didn't even cross my mind, you know. And then later I was like, dude, I missed out. You know, I missed out. And that's what's awesome about it is, like, I feel sorry and I'm sad and I don't like that I didn't serve my mom in that way. But it's not because it's like there's a law somewhere that says, like, you know, honor your father and mother, like, you just got to do it or you're going to hell. You know, it's like, that's not why. It's because I know that I missed out on joy. And that's what convicts me. So, yeah, let's pray and we'll be done. God, thank you again for this time. Thank you for this building to meet under. And you just have a place to come and hear your word and enjoy you. And God, just, we know that if we were left to our own selves, we would not be able to change our motivations. We can't change our desires, God. So remind us of your heavenly reward, you know, with you, with the gifts you'll give us there, the crowns you'll give us there. But also just with the joy of now, the here and now that Jesus showed us as he endured the suffering with joy in this moment. Remind us of that as we suffer and choose to sacrifice and abstain or serve, whatever that might look like. But thanks for being good and awesome to us and so beautiful. Pray it in Christ's name. Amen.